been part of a natural disaster, maybe a hurricane or typhoon or flood or hurricane, I don't know. I hear that in South Carolina there's not too many natural disasters, so that's a good thing. When I was growing up in Wisconsin in high school, I was on the wrestling team, and we had a practice at a neighboring school in the winter time. I think it was over break, and it was in the evening, and we were practicing, and then, and this is the days before cell phones and stuff, so it was hard to get a hold of people. I probably didn't have a quarter on me, so in any case, the weather started as light snow and it became a blizzard. And I don't know if you've ever been in a blizzard, but it's basically snow coming at you sideways at about 50 miles an hour. And it was accumulating rapidly. And so I don't think the bus that was supposed to pick us up could make it through. Our parents couldn't make it through. And so it was a couple miles from home. So some of us endeavored to walk back home, and we did, and it was not the most pleasant of walks that I've ever had, but I was thankful when I finally got home and could enjoy a nice warm hot chocolate. And I think in the morning there was about 20 inches of snow on the ground, so nothing you've ever seen here, but to me blizzards aren't that bad compared to hurricanes and tornadoes and the like. But when we see the awesome power of nature, we get a sense a little bit about the name of God that we're going to talk about today. Today we're going to talk about God's name, El Shaddai, which is more powerful than the most powerful storms, more powerful than the most powerful atomic or hydrogen bomb. It is the awesome power of the everlasting and almighty El Shaddai. El Shaddai is one of the greatest of the Old Testament titles for God. And this title appears numerous times in the Old Testament, beginning here in Genesis, but also it is prominently, preeminently used in the book of Job. And when you combine this Semitic word El for God and the Hebrew word Shaddai, which means Almighty, we get the term God, the Almighty One, or simply Almighty. And so that is how the translation would go. So let's look at Genesis 17, and we'll read together. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come to you from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." Okay, we got that. So today we see here first the revelation of God, that God is El Shaddai, the overpowerer. And we see here God appearing to Abraham, when he's 99 years old. And the text says that the Lord, Yahweh, which is capitalized in the English as L-O-R-D, which stands for Yahweh, the eternal personal God, proclaims to Abraham that he is God Almighty, El Shaddai. And so the origins here of the term El Shaddai are difficult to trace, but most scholars see that in Israel and the Hebrew people and the other Semitic peoples of that region, that it conveyed the idea of God as an overwhelming and terrifying power. The two most frequent translations of this would be thunderer or overpowerer. Pagan gods, of course, were often associated with storms, and if you know a little bit about some of the pagan gods, the Norse god of Thor is an example, and Thor is what? The personification of thunder. And so here we see that in the Hebrew mind, God isn't associated directly, personified as part of nature, but nature is being used to describe a characteristic of God. And so for God, he is above nature, not necessarily like Thor, actually thunder is part of his nature. Nonetheless, when the Old Testament speaks of thunderer, it's merely borrowing from nature something to communicate about God. It is attempting to communicate the fierce power that God displays in his reign. God is thus the Almighty One, the God of power and might, who is more powerful than the fiercest storms of nature. In fact, he's above nature, greater than the created world. I was looking recently, I have like an astronomy app on my phone, and I can look at different things, and I was looking at Jupiter, and Jupiter has this big red dot on, big spot on it. I don't know if you've ever seen Jupiter, but it's a spot. Maybe more than a spot, but a big kind of ellipsis. And that's a storm. And it's basically like a hurricane. And they said it's such a big storm that it just has been there like since, you know, all of us have been alive. It's never changed. And it's as big as putting the Earth and Mars together. That's how big this storm system is. Of course, Jupiter is a huge planet. But when you think of the worst hurricanes that our Earth can encounter, and then you look at Jupiter, which has this mega super, I don't even know how to describe the storm, but then you even think that God is even above and beyond any kind of storm that can be whipped up in nature or in the universe, God is greater than that. God is the Almighty One, the Overpowerer. And so what's the response then of Abram to this revelation, this encounter with God? Well, his response is to be overwhelmed. Abraham falls on his face, overwhelmed by the power and presence of God, and you basically get the idea that Abraham is in a state of fear and trembling over the greatness of God. I couldn't help but think of the original version, the movie, The Wizard of Oz, and the scene where Dorothy and the Tin Man and Scarecrow and the Lion, is it, go to see the great Oz, the great wizard, in his chamber. And if you remember, there's the voice, "I am the great Oz," and there's fire that's coming out of the altar and smoke, and they're terrified, and then he gives them instructions on what they're to do, but you can tell that they're terrified through this display of Oz trying to make himself appear almighty, to be the all-powerful, almighty Oz. Now, of course, when you look at the old movie, we see, well, how could they be afraid of something like that? But nonetheless, that is what Oz was trying to portray in and of himself, that he was the Almighty One. And their response, like Abraham, was fear. And fear to the extent that they were shaking and trembling. And if you remember the scene, Lion, the cowardly lion who wants courage, was so afraid he ran out and jumped through a window. And so this fear brought out this power of this display of power brought out fear in the characters of this movie. And this is similar to the reaction that Abraham has when being in the presence of the Almighty God, but again multiplied so many times because God is so much more powerful than this feeble attempt at the great Oz to indeed be great. And this, I think, is an aspect of God that is neglected by the church. I think it's right for us and good for us to emphasize and praise our Lord Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with Him. And in fact, Jesus calls us His friend and gives us His word and His will. He's indeed our brother, we see in Scripture. But on the other hand, we overlook and oftentimes maybe avoid the other side of God's character, which is His awesome power, His greatness, and His glory. God is truly worthy to be praised in honor and reverence and in humility simply because He's the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator and God. And so the response of Abraham was right, to be, in a sense, overwhelmed and have a right fear of God. So what then is the result? We see the name and the aspect of who the character of God is and being the overpower, and our response to that is almost one of that we can't help but be overwhelmed. But the result is that God is all-sufficient. We see that in His communication with Abraham, the promise of God. God confirms His covenant to Abraham that He will greatly increase his numbers and make him fruitful and make him the father of many nations. That is an amazing promise to Abraham that indeed God is going to use him and his descendants throughout eternity. But the problem is, and if you know the story, most of you do, is that Abraham is 99 years old and his wife is 90, and if you know anything about biology or human physiology, it's really impossible for children to be born at that late age. And so this is quite a ridiculous promise in and of a human way of speaking, but this is where El Shaddai, God Almighty, God the Overpower, comes to deliver His promises. God is so powerful that He can overturn even the power and laws of nature. Listen to what God says in verse 19. Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac." God delivered on His promises and indeed did make Abraham the father not only of Isaac, but also of the nation of Israel. And indeed, He's our father as well, because Jesus was born through the lineage of Abraham, and we indeed are born again through the name, through the power of the person of Jesus. God worked powerfully in the life of Abraham, and indeed He provided for he and his family and his lineage in a powerful and supernatural way. And this aspect of El Shaddai is borne out actually in the way that the Greek translators of the Hebrew Scriptures translated El Shaddai. Now, in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures were written in Hebrew, and in about 250 BC, in the Greek world, which is where the Greek and then Roman world of where the Israel and the Hebrew people became part of this these dynasties and nations. Scholars came together because people spoke Greek, and they translated the Scriptures from Hebrew into Greek. And so, in doing so, and they came up with a Bible called the Septuagint, and these scholars translated the Hebrew El Shaddai into the word ikonos, which means all-sufficient. And so we get another aspect of who God is in El Shaddai, and that it does mean God the overpower, but it also means all sufficient, in that He is able to supply for the needs and meet the needs of His people. These scholars recognize the important aspect of this word, that God uses His power on behalf of His people, that He's the all sufficient one in the lives of His people, and that He is indeed our all in all. I was watching as I was preparing to show a video to give us an understanding a little more of the Islamic people. I did see a testimony of a Muslim convert, and he is a younger guy who grew up here in America and was Muslim, and he befriended a Christian music artist. And he has this Muslim guy had no interest in being a Christian or doing Christian music, but he really liked this guy because he was a great musician and he really wanted to learn everything about music and the music business. And so he shared, which was a turning point in his life, that one of the members of the band got bit by a bug. I don't know, it was a spider or something, and the person's hand swelled up like, you know, twice the size of the hand. And so this guy thought, well, we'll have to bring the guy to the doctor, which would seem reasonable. Zach just got bit by a spider the other week. His hand swelled up. We took him to the doctor, and, you know, he was able to get some treatment, and he's okay now. But this particular group, being more spiritual than I, decided to pray for healing of the hand. And so this Muslim guy's like, they're crazy. What are they doing praying? And so they prayed. They laid hands on the person. They prayed for him. And he said within an hour, the hand healed. It was totally restored to normal. And he saw that, wow, there's a God that can not only heal, but a God that can hear our prayers and interact with us in a personal way. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to the doctor. I think we should pray for all of our ailments. And indeed, God may sometimes heal us in a supernatural way. But this particular healing, God decided to heal in a supernatural way, I believe, because he did want to touch this person with the power of the gospel. But again, this is El Shaddai, God, the all-powerful one, who is able to overcome the laws of nature in order to help his people and to further his word. And so what is our response then to God, to El Shaddai, the Almighty One? Well, the first, I think, is to revere. Revere means to regard with respect and to acknowledge with awe, to bow before God in worship, giving him the praise and honor that he rightly deserves. Secondly, to reflect. To think about, to meditate on God's awesome power and majesty, that indeed God is God and we are not, and that he is a God that is truly worthy to be praised. And thirdly, to realize that God's overwhelming power is at work amongst his people. Indeed, it is at work in our lives. And so we're reminded of God's intervention in our life and our world, and indeed his presence continues in our lives as we seek him and as we are filled with his Holy Spirit seeking to do his will in our lives. So let us give praise today to El Shaddai, God Almighty, the overpowerer, our all-sufficient one, our all-in-all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you indeed for the various aspects of your character that we see in these names of yours given throughout Scripture. And we thank you for coming to Abraham, for being the Almighty, All-Powerful One in his life, for overcoming, for superseding the laws of nature, that indeed Abraham could have a son who could carry on through the lineage of Jesus. Indeed, that we may be part of that lineage through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give you thanks and praise today in the name of Jesus. Amen.